Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Tuesday, September 27th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We're very honored to have a special guest with us today, Mr. Jim Tucker. He's the author of the very recently released Jim Tucker's Bilderberg Diary. And of all the people on the face of the earth, nobody has done more to expose this shadowy group known as the Bilderbergs.
Or irritate them,
that's right, than Jim Tucker. And what's best about this book, what I like the most, is not only is it a combination of what happened there at all of these Bilderberg meetings that Jim has attended and actually infiltrated, but also his personal anecdotes. And it's like watching this big detective story unfold as you see Jim Tucker pitting his wits against the Bilderberg security and so forth.
And outsmarting them mostly all
right.
the time.
And outsmarting them. And also, we have to mention, is the photographs inside the book. These are pictures I've never seen before, and I've been following the spotlight in American Free Press for about 15 years now. So the whole combination just comes out to be an excellent book. And as everybody who watches this show knows, the Bilderbergs are one of the most influential groups in the entire world.
Not to mention secretive.
Right. So we'd like to welcome Mr. Jim Tucker.
Of the American Free Press.
Right. To Wing TV. How you doing, Jim?
Very good. Thanks for the opportunity.
Oh,
well,
thank you. And when I first heard about this book a few months ago, I couldn't wait to get my hands on it. And when I finally started going between the pages of the covers, it certainly didn't disappoint. So first off, I'd just like to ask you about an individual who was really even before you and in exposing the Bilderbergs. And we know the Bilderbergs had their first meeting in 1954, but by 1957, there was a journalist named Westbrook Pegler who had actually started writing about them. So what can you tell us about this gentleman, and also how did he influence your work once you started covering the Bilderbergs?
Well, he was an inspiration because I'd read the late Westbrook Pegler when I was a small boy. I enjoyed his arguments with the opposing columnist Drew Pearson, and he's always been most reliable, a little bit too forthright for some people, but also quite factual. So in 1957, he did not know they called themselves Bilderberg, but he described, unlike some guys, he really checked out the tips. Some readers told him about some mysterious meeting going on off Jekyll Island, Florida, as I recall, and he didn't just write notes and rush to his typewriter. He flew down there and with binoculars observed and identified numerous luminaries going into this sealed-off hotel.
Very interesting.
And he raised the obvious question, why are they meeting secretly? Why are we having high officials of government, finance, and international bankers meeting secretly? What's their mission? What's their motive? And the late editor of the Atlanta Constitution, the name escapes me at the moment, he attended, and Pegler challenged him on the issue, and he rationalized the secret meeting. And in two straight columns, Pegler just gave him hell.
Good
fine.
For him.
Jim, your book is an historical recounting of all of the times you've managed to infiltrate all of these different meetings. So let's go back to 1985 for a minute. You pocketed the name tag of Richard Pearl at this meeting at the Arrowwood Resort Hotel in White Plains, New York.
Yes.
So he's also known to be a regular attendee of these meetings. So what is the significance of Richard Pearl's attendance and other public officials at these private meetings?
Well, as you say, he is a high official. At that time, he was a high official of the, that would be the first Bush presidency after 1985. No, it would still be Reagan.
Reagan,
in the Reagan White House. Defense high official of some kind of Reagan's. Now, I understand representation by the administration is bipartisan, whether a Republican or a Democrat occupies the White House. Normally, a high official White House will attend. High officials of defense, state, and treasury departments will attend. Benson attended Secretary of Treasury after attending the late Senator Lloyd Benson, now retired, as well as attending while chairman of that Senate Banking Committee.
defendant in his proof. And also, some, as I said in the opening of this show, reading this book is like a good detective story, because every year you have new strategies, and it seems like the Bilderberg, their security, has a new strategy to combat you. But for a few years, you use the name of Etienne d'Avignon, who's one of the highest-ranking luminaries, until they found out about it. And also, one year, you swiped the portfolio of Charles Mathias. So tell us what it's like.
That's called my press credentials on Capitol Hill, which is a little bit of an inconvenience. But again, that shows the complete subservience of the national media. Now, they didn't throw the guy out of congressional press galleries from the New York Times for stealing the Pentagon Papers,
right,
which was a good thing for a reporter to do, but also against the law. Swiping Mathias' Bilderberg portfolio was certainly no more of a crime than the Pentagon Papers, but Mathias is mad at me because I swiped his portfolio, and they drummed me out, and they've never restored the credentials.
Right.
I can survive without them, but they are convenient.
Yeah.
In 1988, you received a letter from a person purporting to be a member of the Bilderberg Group after their meeting held in Scotland. What was the gist of this letter and your response to it?
Oh, the gist of the letter, as I recall, was that we have a right to a private meeting, and stuff I'm writing is nonsense, it's horrible, and I should quit, all that stuff. And I responded by telling him that I thought he was a funny because real Bilderberg participants, no matter how criminal they are, they're quite literate, and his letter was illiterate.
You know, the tone of that letter was very condescending and snobbish and elitist.
Well, they are snobs. For example, the staff at the resort where Bilderberg stays, each year, as you know, the drill is very much the same. Only staffers who've been there for a year or so and been told to maintain absolute secrecy will be working when Bilderberg attends. But they're also told never look a Bilderberg participant in the eye.
Like Hillary.
Never speak to him unless he speaks to you.
Uh-huh.
It's, they take themselves very seriously.
Apparently so.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, one of the most interesting passages of this book was when Nelson Rockefeller, who was the vice presidential candidate for Gerald Ford, well, he was giving a press conference, and he was asked about the Bilderbergs, and where beforehand he was very fluent, all of a sudden he started stumbling over his tongue and his words. Tell us about that time.
Actually, it was a formal lunch in the press club where the paper boys send up their questions on a card, and and do not sign their names. That prevents grandstanding.
Uh-huh.
I knew my question before he even made the speech, and my question got there very quickly. At that time, the guy presiding over the luncheon obviously had never heard the word Bilderberg. He didn't know it was a taboo word.
Uh-huh.
And so he read the question, and that's when Rockefeller started groping around, and I forgot exactly what it was, but he became somewhat incoherent.
Yeah.
It was very obviously distressed.
Yeah. And the way you relay this story in the book is phenomenal. I would have given anything to be in the audience that day to see this, because I bet he didn't know what hit him, did he?
Nope. But, you know, my favorite anecdote is that pompous ass Henry Kissinger.
Uh-huh.
One time a few years ago, I'm at some reception in Washington, and I roll over to Kissinger and say something like, Dr. Kissinger, you attended a such-and-such Bilderberg meeting at such-and-such place this year, naming the precise place and time of his meeting. And a tall, white-haired man from Europe asked you this, and could you elaborate on that a little bit? Now, Henry Kissinger's German accent is a total affectation.
His
stunned surprise, his first response was, but that was a private meeting. He catches himself and says, but that was a private meeting.
So the whole thing is fake.
Yes, his brother. I've never met his brother, but those who have said his brother speaks English so natively, you'd never guess he's from anywhere but the United States.
Kissinger's
been in this country since he was 14 years old.
Yeah. And that story, along with all of these other we're talking about is in Jim's book, The Bilderberg Diary, and it's available on not only the Wing TV homepage, but also AmericanFreePress.net, which Jim writes for and, as we've said for years, is the best newspaper in America.
Speaking of Henry Kissinger, Jim, what part does he play in the Bilderberg Group, and what role does he have in maintaining the mainstream media news blackout?
Well, in the United States, mainstream media is very co-opted. They don't even ask about Bilderberg. They've been co-opted. He is sort of David Rockstar's valet.
Mm-hmm.
He is a ranking Bilderberg luminary. He's been attending since he was Nixon's national security advisor before he became Nixon's Secretary of State, I think it was. And he and Rockstar also on the executive committee of the Junior Varsity, the Trilateral Commission, mm-hmm. which is has a common agenda, interlocking leadership, and they have 300 members instead of about 110, and they include Japan and other countries from Asia.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that's very noticeable as you go through your book and see the agenda mm-hmm. at the Bilderberg meetings is this idea of a world tax, or how they want to get more money out of the American citizens, the American taxpayers. Tell us a little bit about that and how this is like one of their number one priorities.
Well, they've raised our taxes before. It is a high priority. They've raised American taxes directly before. At least a couple times I've come back from Bilderberg reporting that Bilderberg says that Americans should raise their income taxes. And right away, income tax increases. In fact, Big Bush, when he was president, wrote that he was going to be pressured to break his pledge of no new taxes,
yeah.
which he did, and he lost the election, but they had Bill Clinton, then the obscure governor of Arkansas, standing by at the same time.
Right.
We've had advanced stories on the downfall of Maggie Thatcher, based on Bilderberg, the end of the Cold War, based on Bilderberg stories. So we've got a track record now. 25 years ago, somebody may say, how do we know you didn't fabricate this? Well, you just have to trust me. Now I can say, look at the record.
Exactly, yeah.
When compelled to make their attendance list public, the Bilderbergs surrender and they provide a press release and some incomplete lists of names. So how do they rationalize conducting this public business in private?
They simply say that it's a private meeting and they have a right to a private meeting. And I've said to them, it's a criminal act for a public servant, an American official, to meet and conduct public policy with private citizens behind closed doors. And Judge Lambert fined the Clinton White House $300,000 paid for by the taxpayers, of course, because Hillary's health task force, which she wanted to have the radical health reform, she had this big task force and a meeting with so-called experts from the private sector as well as Washington bureaucrats, and that was illegal. Now, if it's illegal to have such a meeting, well, their meeting was not secret. It was public, just behind closed doors. Everybody knew they were meeting. They announced it. But it's just simply against the law, against federal law, for public federal officials to meet with private citizens behind closed doors to conduct policy. And that's exactly what the crime that every American official who attends a Bilderberg meeting is committing.
On the taxpayer dime, correct?
To this extent. Yes, the taxpayers will pay for the travel costs. The Bilderberg hosts pick up the tab for lodging, for his booze and food, his turn on the golf course on Saturday morning. But these public officials who fly on the taxpayer's nickel, they're not flying coach.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Now, I want to touch again upon all the photographs in here because it's so great. You see pictures of a young Dick Cheney. You see Margaret Thatcher with Jim Tucker, also David Rockefeller, Henry Kissinger.
Young Richard Pearl.
Yeah, Jim Tucker with Walter Mondale. And Jim, I want to ask you about two things that you've touched upon already in this interview. First of all, Bill Clinton, who was then virtually unknown mm-hmm. as the governor of Arkansas, he attended the 1991 Bilderberg meeting in Baden-Baden. And also, if you would have just read the mainstream media, you never would have known the real reason, or the real reason why Margaret Thatcher actually fell from power, would you?
No, you've never read that in the mainstream press. In the case of Clinton, he was an obscure governor of Arkansas. They tried him out to the first Bilderberg meeting, and of course that's a head experience for a little fat boy. And they told him what NAFTA was and why he's for it, and of course he was for NAFTA.
Uh-huh.
Now, Bilderberg likes both horses in a two-horse race. That's why whoever's in the White House has had some direct or indirect connection with Bilderberg, or at least the Trilateral Commission. Mm-hmm. Everyone, not including, but since Richard Nixon,
right.
Ford, and from Ford on to, with the exception of the present George W. Bush, except by heritage, Bush has never attended a trilateral or a Bilderberg meeting. Little Bush, the current president.
Right.
Nanny was a trilateral.
And you actually have a letter in here where Gerald Ford mentions being or regretting not being able to attend a Bilderberg meeting.
Uh-huh.
So it's right there in black and white, isn't it?
He said something about, oh, I don't have, when I asked him about Bilderberg, he said something about, oh, I don't have time in his entourage. What page is that on? Maybe they.
Yeah. That's near the end of the book where you have the letter from Gerald Ford where he regrets not being able to attend. But he did subsequently afterward.
He did attend a meeting.
In the early 60s.
The trilaterals, he did attend one Bilderberg meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was when he was Speaker of the House.
Right, right.
Jim, you wrote a letter to the Washington Post challenging them to report comprehensively on the Bilderberg Group meetings. Did you receive any response to your letter?
No, I'd been happily surprised if I had. But as you know, every publisher since the late Phil Graham and later his wife, now the late Catherine Graham, yeah. Now the little boy Donald Graham, have all attended Bilderberg meetings, along with their associate editor, Jimmy Lee Hoagland.
That's right.
And and they keep their promise of absolute secrecy.
Yeah. Now, one thing we have to mention here is that you have some help at these meetings from barmaids, taxi drivers, chauffeur drivers, waiters, people on the inside.
It's full of intrigue.
Right. Tell us a little bit about how you find these people and how they either help to get you in or they bring information out to you.
Well, we'll get there several days before Bilderberg. And sometimes I can actually stay in the Bilderberg Hotel till everybody, all the unwashed multitudes are kicked out at high noon on Wednesday before the Thursday meeting starts. And if not, or if the price is too high, I'll take a cheaper hotel but nearby, within cab distance, and spend hours at the Bilderberg resort in these 2 or 3 days prior to the meeting. On day one, my ritual is simply to have perhaps grape juice at the bar, or maybe some variation of that, and just talk in a very low-key, unassuming way, being mystified about all the big things that must be happening here. I'll explain that. I tried to make reservations.
Uh-huh.
So they're all filled this weekend for some important meeting,
mm-hmm.
and it's just that. So we'll chat on the first day. Then the second day, I get become more mystified, and the personnel start opening up a little bit more. Well, yes, it's a big economic meeting going on. Why all the secrecy? No, they don't know. By Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning, there have been a number of people who have agreed to meet with me off when they're off duty and outside of Bilderberg, providing me with being my eyes and ears and picking up any documents they can take safely. That is, instead of trash can, nobody's looking, or left on a table, the room is empty.
And we can't tell you how great it is to read these stories. And just, it's like watching this little chess match where you're plotting against the security, and more often than not, you get in there and you get what you want to find. So it's a great way to present it.
Jim, all of these Bilderberg Group meetings have significance, but why was the 2005 meeting so important?
Well, to me, one of the most important comments came from Henry Kissinger, who told his buddies to expect the price of oil to go above $200 a barrel within a couple of years.
Wow.
Now, at that time, we thought the price of oil was high at $40 a barrel.
Exactly.
After we got back and started climbing up, long before the hurricanes, it started climbing swiftly to, I think, something like $275
we know it's still, the price of oil is teetering around $65 to $70 a barrel. So before we leave today, Jim, we want to thank you once again for coming on here.
Very much.
Yeah, Jim Rice.
It's my pleasure.
Jim Rice for the American Free Press, which can be found at theamericanfreepress.net. Go there, take a look at what they're doing. Subscribe to this newspaper because it is that good. And, Jim, my last question to you is, what do you think the world would be like today if nobody, including yourself more than anyone, would have never exposed the Bilderbergs to the light of day?
Well, their agenda would, I'm sure, be much more fast-paced because our readers tend to be quite active, patriotic Americans, and they'll write to their congressman, call their congressman, and say, vote against the tax increase proposal that's coming. Certainly oppose any direct tax by the U.N., which is high on the Bilderberg agenda, and it's been pending before the U.N. for 3 years, although you don't read about it in the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
Their favorite world tax imposed directly by the U.N. is a dime a barrel for oil at the wellhead.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that would be kicked up quickly over the years, but it would, they're trying to slip that in even as we speak.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They would have, I think that would have been accomplished by now if there had been no exposure whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, you're truly their nemesis.
Yeah. Well, Jim, we
thank you very much. You make a boy blush.
Well, we consider you a legend. And again, everybody out there, take a look. If you want to see how history was made in exposing the Bilderbergs, it's all right here between
these
two covers.
Book.
On the back cover, you have a description by Michael Collins Piper.
And a forward by Christopher Bolin.
That's right. Yep. So, Jim, just keep up the great work, and we can't wait till the 2006 report.
Thanks for your hospitality.
Take care. We'll talk to you soon, Jim. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. We're going to give you a full report on our attendance at the PA Clean Sweep down in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, where 2,000 plus people all clambered on the steps of the Capitol building, went inside directly to the governor's office.
It was a very intense, awesome protest,
yeah.
And we were very proud to be there. And today we have in our photo gallery pictures from St. Petersburg protests and Los Angeles protests on September 24th that coincided with our D.C. protests.
Right. Some of those came from Patriot Jim Kujwa, who also wrote the lead article on the Wing TV homepage.
And Eddie Jones from L.A.
Right. And we should have increased bandwidth by tomorrow's show. We're going to triple our bandwidth.
Hopefully.
So keep your fingers crossed. Keep tuning in. Until tomorrow, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you then.